We pray. Heavenly Father, you who hallow this moment with your presence, Jesus Christ, you who bow in prayer with us and carry our prayers to your throne of your Father in heaven, be with us in this moment, dear Lord, as we pray that your words might find a home in our hearts, may grow deeply in the root of our fabric of our being, that we might hear your word and embrace your truth now and forevermore in Christ our Savior. Amen. The portion of God's word which we turn our hearts to, printed in your service folder from the Gospel of Mark. They went to a place named Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Then he took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be troubled and distressed. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Going forward a little, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He also said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." When he returned to the disciples, he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Were you not strong enough to keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The word of our Lord. Did you hear that Paul Ryan has given up drinking beer for Lent? What a sacrifice, huh? Has anyone asked you if you've given up anything for Lent? Sometimes people ask me, what should I give up? And I usually respond, well, why don't you give up sinning for Lent? God cares much more about whether we're sinning or not than whether we have a beer or eat a steak. Give up sinning for Lent. Ooh, but that's not so easy, is it? It's so much easier to refrain from a beer and a brat because the temptation to disobey God is just so powerful in the core of our being. Now that would really be a struggle. Temptations can hit us like a freight train. Bang! Before we know what happens. A stranger walking down the street ignites our lust. A car cutting us off in traffic. Or a big mouth cutting us off so we can't get our work done. And all of a sudden, a hidden rage inside of us just wants to roar in a flash of a moment. Other people succeeding where we're failing, and all of a sudden, our jealousy just burns. A bad joke or a sharp criticism, and all of a sudden, we feel that sting of embarrassment. Oh, and those raw emotions lead us to want to let that wild animal out from inside of us. We become buggy-eyed and drooling. And all of a sudden, words just spring from our lips that we can never take back again. But not to fear, we'll always blame the other person. Sometimes temptations grow slowly and quietly, like cancer within us. A wicked thought or feeling slowly settling into our heart and into our mind. It slowly grows and sets down roots and poisons us from within. Whenever our spouse or a friend or our boss or our children or our parents disappoint us, hurt us, it's so easy to move into distrust, And when distrust is nurtured, it turns into vindictive criticism. We can find something wrong with just about everything. And criticism then moves us into either arrogance, well, I'm not like that, or self-pity. Oh, poor me, I have to live with such people. Temptation reaches its zenith when it gets us to believe that it's okay, that we're justified in actually hating that person. Temptations come in all shapes and sizes, and they come to all people. That serpent Satan slithers into our garden. He comes whispering into our ears. His goal is to get between us and God. His goal is to get us to distrust and disobey God. He whispers, oh, give up fighting temptations. That's a losing battle. Temptations will always be in your life, and sinning will always be in your life. So just accept that reality. It's kind of like our sinful self telling us to kind of be half Christians, half given to Christ and half given to our sinful temptations, our pet sins. God is not pleased. But what are we to do when it seems like temptations come into us like as easy as breathing air? God wants us to repent. Turn to Jesus when you face temptations. Jesus was praying with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. His disciples, who sounded so good just moments earlier, oh, we will never leave you or forsake you. We will die with you rather than disown you. And now they couldn't even stay awake for 1 hour. Jesus challenged them, and he challenges us right now to fight against temptation. To fight against temptation the way Jesus fought against temptation. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray? Really? That's it? Well, let's take that apart and see how watching and praying really turns us to Jesus in our hour of need. Jesus knew what it was to be a human being tempted by Satan. In fact, the Holy Spirit had led him out into the wilderness, didn't he? For 40 days, for fasting, and specifically to be tempted by Satan. Satan's plan was to use Jesus' pain to get him to launch into sin. He jabbed at Jesus' hunger. He jabbed at Jesus' upcoming death and how horrible that would be. He jabbed at Jesus' desire to be loved by his heavenly Father. And yet he couldn't break Jesus because Jesus watched and prayed. Jesus always stayed singly minded and focused in on his heavenly Father. That's constantly where his concentration was, so that he could see the wiles and beguiles of Satan, the tempting, and that he could watch his own heart and soul. Satan could not lead him astray. And in every need, Jesus quoted Scripture to break the back of temptation time and time, and to keep his heart and mind riveted on his heavenly Father. Nothing would break him from the word of his Father. This afternoon in our text, the approaching execution was weighing Jesus down. That was getting to be a heavy load. While his disciples seemed rather clueless as to how important that evening was. But Jesus was keeping his eyes on his heavenly Father all the more. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. The more the agony grew, within him. And the more the temptation would try to rise out with from outside of him, the more he focused in on his heavenly Father. He poured himself into and wrapped himself up in his heavenly Father. Because only in his heavenly Father would he find the strength to stay the course, to obey his heavenly Father, and to endure the suffering. And that's exactly what he did. Watching Jesus die could have been so different for the disciples. Had they listened to what Jesus told them was coming, by looking and watching and seeing how terrifying that would actually be, by watching how Satan would try to tempt them in their hour of anguish and suffering, and if they had only thrown themselves into their heavenly Father for protection, for a safe place. But they didn't. And so their pain opened the door to great sinful doubt. It's the same with us. Only the words and the arms of our Savior can we find that strength to stay the course, to obey our Heavenly Father, to put up with all the suffering. There and only there will we be able to handle whatever Satan tries to throw at us. Jesus has made us his brothers and sisters. He successfully fought off every single temptation so that he would not fall into sin. He lived the holy life as a Son of God. And through faith, remarkably, he gives us the credit for his perfection, his perfect sinless life. And then he took on the sins of all people on himself and paid that debt. He paid the debt for all the times that we have given into temptation with lust and rage and jealousy and arrogance and self-pity and hatred. He's washed them clean in his blood. And now we are brothers and sisters in the Lord for all eternity. That was an expensive adoption. It cost him everything. But the reality is that through faith, we who were once outside are now in. We who were once powerless are now powerful in the Lord. We are children of God who can stand up against Satan. What do you want to do with that power? Do I use it to sin or to fight? God does not keep all temptations from you and me. No, rather, he uses temptations to keep us close to him. He has a holy purpose for him. Watch and pray so that that attractive person on the street might not ignite our lust. Watch and pray that God gives us a strong faith and a loving marriage so that we are content. And in our peace and contentment, we can treat people as people and not sex objects. When cars and people cut us off in life, pray for patience so that the disappointment might not grow into rage. We truly can handle that a different way, a God-pleasing way. When others succeed while we are failing, oh, that we might watch all those temptations, that we might take safe haven in the wounds of Jesus and challenge ourselves to actually be happy for them, that their Creator God has blessed them with such loving gifts, to take shelter in the wounds of Jesus so that we might see success as Jesus' Easter success. He's the one who's made us victorious in his victory. When embarrassment burns us, oh, what a lasting scar that wants to give. But we, in turn, can turn to our Lord and not think more highly of ourselves than what we ought. Pray to our God for sober judgment, that we might calm our hurt feelings in Jesus' assessment of us. And how does Jesus see us? We were once the enemies of God, who had much to be embarrassed about, but now are the children of God. And we stand before our Lord free of embarrassment, totally healed in His glorious grace, at peace with God and at peace with ourselves, regardless of what others might think of us. For to us, the only opinion that counts is Jesus. To have that peace that comes from His grace and forgiveness. Have people given us reason to distrust them? Oh, sure. They're sinners. Have we given people reason to distrust us? Probably. Isn't that interesting? Watch how God's forgiveness empowers us to forgive those who have disappointed us, even our enemies. And that sets us on a whole new course. Pray for God's forgiveness to set us free from a life of criticism and arrogance and self-pity and hatred, and to actually give us a life of love, joy, peace, hope, accepting what we cannot change, and wishing the best upon all people, that we might live in peace and quietness. Paul writes to the Romans, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Temptations come. Not so that we can be half Christians, half given to Christ and half given to our sinful nature. No, but that we might be stronger Christians, mature Christians, who know and practice how to draw in and wrap ourselves in our Heavenly Father, who know how to watch and pray through the power of God's holy word and be victorious in all temptations. It isn't important what you give up for Lent. It's important what you add to Lent. Add time on your knees. Add time in God's Word. Build up your trust in your Holy Father's will for your lives. His truth, His promises can shield us from everything Satan comes to tempt us with. God gives you strength to stand firm in His grace. So repent. Turn to Jesus when you face temptation. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, God of all grace, You are the giver of all good gifts. Be with us and strengthen us through Your holy word, that we might do the supernatural, that we might live in You and with You, now in this world and forever in heaven. Bless us. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.